Should we, before we sing our next hymn, should we open our Bibles to Mark chapter 1? We will begin our reading at verse 35, and we will read through to the end of the chapter. In Mark chapter 1, it begins with pointing us to John the Baptist, and it shows John the Baptist pointing us to Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus was baptized, and then he went to the wilderness, and then he went out to Galilee. To preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. And also he went around Galilee preaching, but also doing wondrous things, doing wondrous miracles, healing the sick and casting out demons. And the people are starting to get to know this man called Jesus. And people are wanting more of what Christ has, more of these miracles that they have seen him do. So we begin then our reading at verse 35. And it says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth.' And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction." This is the word of the Lord. May it speak to us this evening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we now come to consider your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to put distractions aside, and may, Lord, our attention be on your word. Lord, on the word preached. Help both myself, the preacher, and the listeners, Lord. Help us and move in us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we will be considering the story here before us from verse 40 of the leper who came to Jesus. And imploring at the feet of Jesus, that knowing that Jesus could heal him, asked if Christ was willing to, and Jesus replied, "I am willing. Be cleansed." For me, I think it's one of the greatest words of Christ. And he said to a man who was desperate, "I am willing. Be cleansed." Now, before we consider the passage, I just want to invite you all this evening to consider the life of a man and ask yourselves, how would you fare if this man's life was your own, was your life? If all of this man's clothing is torn, he's an outcast of society, he's not permitted to enter public places, people avoid him, no one can or will come near to him. His skin is scaly. He's covered in wounds, scabs, and sores. His body stinks, like decaying flesh. He can have no contact with his family. In fact, even his family avoid him. And to save face, a shouting distance is the closest his family come to him. His presence is never desired. He's in effect a walking plague. He's avoided by everyone and anyone who knows he's in proximity to them. This man lives all alone, excluded. Even animals are treated better than he is. And to add insult to injury, it is law. It is law that this man has to sound his own alarm bell to warn people of his state and condition. He has to continually cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean, I am unclean. Now, how many of us here this evening would be able to bear living the life of such a man? I don't think any of us would. Compared to the life of this man I have just described, our lives certainly are comfortable. I understand that we do have our own struggles, our own difficulties. We have struggles with family and friends, and sometimes it's even difficult to wake up in the morning or to leave the front door. But what did this man had? Well, it's nothing like what we have. And this man I just described is the leper that comes to Jesus. This was his life. So as we consider this incredible story, I ask that you remember that the sort of life that this leper had. Now this is a remarkable story, a historical event, marking the encounter of this man, a leper, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I must tell you that in the time of Jesus, to heal someone of leprosy was as astounding as raising someone from the dead. No one thought it could be done. It's impossible. And we will see that that is exactly what Christ was able to do. To cleanse a man from his leprosy. Now, up to this point in the Gospel of Mark, we are told about Jesus and his power. How he healed many who were ill, sick, with various diseases. And he even cast out demons. He did great things. And in all that display of godly power, here in these verses we're considering, Jesus does even something greater. He actually does something unthinkable. In fact, to the horror of all who witnessed it, Jesus touches a leper and cleanses him. You see, in the time of Jesus, to be a leper was the worst possible disease a person could contract. When the Bible speaks of leprosy, we must understand that it's not limited to what we know as leprosy today. It's not just Hansen's disease. Something a lot more, a lot worse. What we have in mind when the Bible speaks of leprosy is a variety of infectious skin diseases and diseases of the nervous system. It was something contagious. And this disease caused pain, the disfiguration, and people were shunned from society because of it. Lepers were considered by society as the walking dead. Medically, they had no hope, and even religiously, they were defiled, unclean, an abomination to society. In Jewish antiquity, to be diagnosed with leprosy wasn't just a medical issue. It was also an ecclesiastical issue. The leper was expelled from the Jewish community. They were not permitted to enter a synagogue, nor come anywhere near the temple to worship. Now, for a Jew to wake up one morning and then find a scab on his body, what was possibly the most terrifying and anxiety-inducing thing that a Jew could face in his lifetime. To be diagnosed as a leper, to be declared unclean, to be branded as defiled. Now, the defilement was such that if you lightly brushed against a piece of material that may have touched a leper, you too would be declared as unclean and set apart from society. You would be excluded until your days of examinations were over and you were proved to be without leprosy. After which you would have to go through a cleansing ritual. You would have to pay an offering. And then and only then the priest would declare you to be clean with a certificate. And that is only if you brushed against a piece of cloth that belonged to a leper. But if you were declared to be unclean by the priest, in effect you were declared to be dead, in inverted commas. This was a life sentence. You see, this was the life of the man who knelt at Jesus' feet. That's what we read in verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Why would this man come to Jesus, sounding so desperate, imploring him? Because this is what his life was like. A leper. This was a man detested by society. A man pronounced by the law of God. The law of God. To be unclean and defiled. Now this is the law of God found in Leviticus. I'll just read you two verses from Leviticus chapter 13. And this is what it says about leprosy. A chapter, there are two or three chapters devoted to leprosy. And I'll just read you two verses from it. And it says, "Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" See, the law, God's law said that the leper had to sound his own alarm bell, warning people to stay away. And verse 46 goes on to say, "He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." And just those two verses, how many times did I read the words, "unclean, unclean, unclean"? The leper was unclean. Just two verses. And all it talks about is the uncleanness of the leper. But such was the law of God. Leprosy, then, was a symbol of sin. That is why the Bible speaks of it in such terms. It was a symbol of sin. It was considered a sign of judgment from God. Leprosy was an abomination in the Jewish community. So much so that the priests, who would pride themselves in saying that they had never been within 150 meters of a leper. Rabbis and Pharisees declared how righteous they were by boasting of the fact that they would throw stones at lepers. Now, they were abusing the law of God, but they understood what leprosy meant, what it was a symbol of. See, the laws on leprosy had more than one function. Yes, it kept the Jewish community safe from this horrible infectious disease, but more so, the law here functioned to give us a knowledge of sin. Leprosy, you see, what was an outward picture of what the sin in the life of man is like. Now we are speaking of the leper here, this outward disease, but we can apply this to ourselves and see leprosy as the state of our hearts when we are without Christ. the state of our hearts before we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God used leprosy to give us a real sense of the sinfulness of sin and how holiness is a necessity in the presence of God. That's why the leper wasn't allowed in the synagogues. He wasn't allowed in the temple to worship God. Well, because sinners cannot worship God. God is holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Remember Isaiah's response when he had that vision with the angels worshiping God. What did he say? I am ruined, I am undone. A sinner cannot stand in the presence of God. And that is what we are. Leprosy then is a picture of that sin in us. Leprosy in the Bible is an image of humanity's unregenerate, sinful soul. The sinner is unclean, unworthy to stand before God. And this is the leper. Now, our text doesn't say much about the leper. But if we read between the lines, we consider the time, and we apply the law of God, we can deduce that this man's leprosy was of the worst kind. He was one who had been declared unclean. He would have to go out crying, unclean, unclean. There really was no hope for this man. He was living hell on earth. And with such a life, we can see the desperation of this leper. To get to Jesus, he had to break all protocol, the standards of society. He even broke laws to be able to come to the feet of Jesus and cry to him. Oh, the leper, he heard about this man called Jesus. He heard people making a big noise about this man who goes about healing people. This man who can do miraculous things. And this leper, although he was excluded from society, barred from entering any village, town, or city, although he was alone in the wilderness, living in caves, the name of Jesus was being made known in the community, and he hears about it. So he heard of Christ, Jesus, and he heard of Jesus' power. And just hearing of what Jesus could do, this man found hope. He received such faith that he determined himself to find Jesus and to kneel before him. Now, even if Jesus would not heal him, his faith was such that he knew that Jesus could heal him. Getting to the feet of Jesus, crowds being scattered. Well, there's a leper amongst them. People shouting in anger, perhaps even stones were being aimed at him, at this poor leper. But there's a desperation here. Nothing would stop the leper. He had to come to Jesus and implore of him, begging earnestly and desperately. And so he asks in verse 40, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, what drove this leper to Christ Jesus? I'll suggest to you two reasons. First, it was the state of his condition. The leper knew the degree of his uncleanliness. He knew the infernal sentence on his head because of his disease. And so to hear of one and be given the opportunity to be cleansed and set free from his hell on earth, he would not refuse or reject the chance to be healed. And so he was determined to bow to Christ, and the healer. You see, the leper knew his state and his condition. Now I ask you, do you know your state and your condition? That it has made you desperate to come to the feet of Jesus? that you would be willing to do whatever was necessary to come to the only one who could cleanse you from your heart leprosy. Do you understand the sinfulness of your sin? Do you understand that the wages of sin is death? And that this man, Jesus, well, he's the only one who can take that away from you. That sentence upon your head. Well, the leper, he heard of this man Jesus who could cleanse him. Now, the second reason this leper was driven to Christ was the truth of the person of Christ. See, Jesus, his power was genuine. His power was of God himself. All the miracles Jesus had performed until that point were of such power and authority that no one could doubt that Jesus was the Christ. Now, I'm sure there had been many counterfeit miracle workers promising healing to the people. We still hear of them today. Now, this leper may have even sought some of them out. Oh, I hear about that man down in somewhere in Judea. Perhaps he can heal me. But perhaps he did go to these people, but no one could heal him. But when he heard of Christ, he had no doubt. We can notice that in what he says to Jesus in verse 40. Notice that the leper didn't question whether Jesus could heal him. In fact, he stated it with certainty, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean." Now, there are many counterfeit miracle workers around the world. There are many religions out there who say to people, come to us. We've got a remedy for you. We've got a remedy to give you a better life, a remedy to sort out all your fears and everything. But none of that helps us. None of that can cleanse the sin in our hearts. But then there is Christ. And because we know of what Christ has done, we can have no doubt that Jesus is able to do it. He's the one we need. He's the one we need to come to. He's the one that can heal us and cleanse us. And we can come to him saying, "Lord, you can make me clean." I just want to add something here which we don't see in Mark. Because if you looked at Matthew's and Luke's version of this account, the leper begins this by calling Jesus Lord. Now, this is the power and authority of Christ. It's unquestionable, indisputable that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the leper knew it. He saw there was something different about this man Jesus. He wasn't just going about claiming to heal people. He was actually healing people. And so he calls Jesus Lord. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, dear Christians, if we think of these two reasons that drove the leper to him, aren't these the reasons that drove you to Christ? Now, did you not recognize the state of your fallen, sinful condition? Did you not see that the sentence upon your head due to your sinfulness? Wasn't it the darkness of your sin that you saw hope of forgiveness and cleansing in the light of Christ Jesus? Didn't Christ Jesus shine so brightly that you could no longer deny him? Didn't the truth of Christ so captivate you that all you could do was to look at Christ and in repentance and faith say, "Lord, forgive me." Or your heart even spoke as the leper did, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." If you are a Christian, does that sound familiar to you? Do those things sound familiar to you? Perhaps you have not come yet to the feet of Christ. Can you not see your need of Christ? Can you see that your sinfulness, your unworthiness to come before God? Wouldn't you come to Christ now, knowing that He's the only one who has the power to make you clean? Now we go on to verse 41. And it speaks then of Christ. It speaks of Jesus, and it says, "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out His hand and touched Him and said to Him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.'" I want you to notice here what moved Jesus to touch and cleanse the leper. It wasn't the leper's faith. If you look at all the people Jesus had healed prior to the leper, Jesus didn't heal in response to faith. Because you see, there's nothing in and of ourselves that causes Christ to do anything for us. Speaking of us being saved, it's the same thing, you know, that there was no righteousness in us to cause God to desire to save us. There was no beauty or pleasantness in us to cause God to save us through His Son, Jesus Christ. If we look at the leper, you know, there was no beauty in him. His disease disfigured him. People would be horrified by his sight. Children would be terrified by his presence. Yet Jesus was moved to touch him. Now some say that the leper's faith must have been appealing to Jesus. But if that was the case, why didn't Jesus speak a word, a good word regarding the leper's faith, as he does in other accounts where Jesus commands people for their faith? But here, something else moved him. Something moved Jesus to compassion. You see, what moved Christ to touch and cleanse the leper came from within Christ Himself. What moved Jesus to save us from our sins came from within Christ Himself. He was moved with compassion. There was nothing in from the leper that caused Christ to heal him. But in the very heart of Christ, He knew the pain and the suffering of this man who fell at His feet. Earlier in Mark chapter 1, Christ Himself had already experienced a life in the wilderness. Just like the leper had to live out in the wilderness, Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights out there. And so, sympathizing with the leper, Christ Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, some manuscripts suggest that here it says that Jesus was indignant. It says that there was a righteous anger in Jesus at this point. Tells us that it deeply affected Christ to see the fallenness and the brokenness of this world. To see the consequences of sin in the world He had so wonderfully created. It moves Christ's compassion to see a man broken in front of Him, desperate to be cleansed. But it moved Christ to anger to see what sin has done to this man whom Christ had created in His own image. You see, sin grieves God. It causes God to show anger. But our brokenness also moves Christ to compassion. When we come to Him, we can know that Christ Jesus moved to compassion as He sees people, broken sinners, crying to Him, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So being moved with compassion, Christ went on to do the unthinkable, the most shocking of things that could have been done in the eyes of the Jewish multitudes around him. Now you can imagine the surprise and maybe the confusion in the eyes of the onlookers as Jesus stretches out his hands towards a leper. But he didn't just stretch out his hand. The Bible tells us here that he touched a leper. Remember I said if you just brush the cloth, you would be defiled. But here Jesus touched the leper. You can almost hear the gasps and the shouts of discontent at what Christ had done. To touch the untouchable. The unclean leper would render the one touched to be unclean and defiled. But here is the holiness of Christ. And the purity of Jesus, that when Jesus touched the leper, Jesus was not defiled. Instead, the leper was made clean. When Jesus touched the leper and said to him, in verse 41, I am willing, be cleansed. We are told in verse 42 that immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I want to point out the willingness of Christ to cleanse the leper. And I want you to see that that is the same willingness of Christ to save a broken sinner. To cleanse a broken sinner from his sin and guilt. That is the willingness of Christ. I am willing, be cleansed. And the leper, at those words of Christ, the leper was completely healed. No scales, no wounds, no sores. And the disfigurement caused by the leprosy would have been reversed completely. Now this is the power of Christ. He is Lord and he is God. That is the same way with us when we come to Christ. Our sins are completely dealt with. We are completely forgiven. Our guilt is taken away. No, Christ was so willing. And this shows the sovereignty of Christ, that if he wills it, he has the power to accomplish it. If he desires to save a sinner, the sinner will be saved. So Jesus was willing to cleanse the leper. And this is the love of Christ towards unclean sinners. Jesus here displays the merciful heart of God towards sinful man in a broken world. Again, isn't this an invitation for all to come to him? The leper came as he was, knowing that Jesus could heal him. Isn't this an invitation for us to come to Christ as we are, bowing at his feet, knowing that he is able to forgive all our sins, to take away all that guilt that we have in our lives? And we can be sure that if we come to Christ, believing in him, he will not turn us away. Whom God desires to save will be saved. And Jesus said in John chapter 6, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. Few a sinner broken comes to Christ in repentance and faith, you know, Christ will not cast you out. He will cleanse you. Now, just as Jesus touched the leper, dear Christians, Christ Jesus touched your heart. Your sins may have nailed Christ to the cross, but your sins could not defile him. And you were made clean by the power of his blood. Now you who come to Christ in genuine repentance and faith, know that your heart will rejoice as it hears. Jesus says, I am willing, be cleansed. Now, being cleansed, being forgiven is not the end. We need to go on with our verses. After cleansing the leper, there's another step. Here's a picture of salvation. But there's something else. Verse 43, he says, "And he, that is Jesus, strictly warned him and sent him away at once." See, Jesus, after cleansing the leper, then goes on to give a command. Now, this would be the leper's true test of faith. The true test of faith comes then in obedience to Christ. Yes, that there is salvation, but then what happens after salvation? Well, we become a people who are obedient to Christ. We see Christ is our Savior, but then we see Him. No, actually, He's more than our Savior. He's Lord. Now, Jesus here gives a stern word, an angry warning. He admonished the man, saying to him, what was the command that Jesus gave him? Verse 44, "And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them.'" You see here, faith in Christ demands servitude. Now this is the test. Are we obedient to His word? Jesus strictly warned the leper to keep the law of God, to do what God required of him. And this is what Christian living is. It is doing what God requires us of us through His word, even if His word is too difficult. Imagine if you were the leper at that point. You have just been healed of your leprosy. I'm sure all you would want to do was to celebrate and to let the world know what had happened to you, what Jesus had done. But Jesus gave him a hard command. Jesus said, go at once. Go where? Well, to Jerusalem. Jesus commands the leper, go at once, travel 70 miles down to Jerusalem and show yourself to the priest. But not only that, Jesus also commands him to offer up the offering that is required. But he was a leper, shunned by society, he had no belongings, he had no money, yet Jesus commanded him to give the offering that God required of him. You see, when we are saved, we also saved then to be obedient to Christ, to do what is required of us, even those hard things. How could the leper afford to pay this offering? You see, there is a cost in following Christ. Yes, in Christ we receive great riches in heaven and much more than we can imagine or ask for. But there is a great cost to following Jesus in this fallen world. Now, have you counted the cost? Are you obeying Christ? There really are great costs when it comes to Christ. Perhaps perhaps your family disowns you, or your friends do not want to talk to you anymore. Or perhaps you may need to leave your job because your bosses are telling you to do something which goes against the word of God. Or perhaps you realize you all this time you've been putting your money in the wrong places. Instead, you need to be putting your money for the things of God. And here, you know, we see that the leper is commanded to do something very hard. But that is the cost of being a Christian, of living for the one who saves us. So have you counted the cost of being a Christian? Are you obeying Christ to do all that God requires of us in His word? And what does God require of us? Well, to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all mind and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Are we obeying Christ? Now, Christ Jesus gave a command, a strict warning to the leper. But verse 45 begins with a however. See, the former leper did not heed Christ's command. It reads, however, the leper went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. The leper did not listen to Christ. Now, because the leper was disobedient to Christ, what happened? We see here that created an obstacle to Christ's ministry. Jesus could no longer go and openly enter the city. Now, we may be thinking, why was it so bad for the leper to go out instead and proclaim what Jesus had done? You see, the problem would have been in what the leper was telling others. The leper would have been advertising Jesus' power to heal. The leper would be out there saying, look, come see this man who healed me from my leprosy. Come, you who are ill, who have your own diseases, you who are lepers, come on, come to this man, this miracle worker. So you see, the people would have been drawn to a healing Messiah. They would be more interested in the signs and wonders of Christ than salvation into the kingdom of God. You see, Christ as a Savior is what we need the most, not Christ as this miracle worker. Back in verse 38, I read earlier, it said, but Jesus said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Because of this purpose I have come forth. The leper, he did not go out telling the gospel. He went out telling about this miracle worker. See, Jesus' purpose was to preach, to make the kingdom of God known. Now, miracles were certainly important in Christ's ministry, in proving and displaying who he is. But his purpose was to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. But because of the leper's disobedience, Jesus could no longer openly enter the cities to preach the gospel. With this man's disobedience, he put an obstacle in the way of Christ's ministry. You see, this is the importance of knowing and doing what God requires of us. This is why the Bible calls us, and the Spirit within the Christian moves us to study His Word and to know His commands and His truths. We do not want to be obstacles in the furtherance of God's kingdom. You see, the actions of Christians are instrumental in the expansion of God's kingdom even today. The gospel must always be our priority. To make Christ known, to proclaim Him as Lord and Savior, making disciples of many, that is our commission. And being obedient in all areas of life. And that includes church life. So the way we live, it's important that we obey Christ. Now, obeying Christ means we see Him as Lord. He is our captain. He is our king. He's the one who commands us. But if we live in disobedience, isn't that what the world will see? Why should I come to church with you and hear about this man Jesus if you don't even obey him in your day-to-day living? We must be obedient to Christ in all of our lives for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ and the fervence of his kingdom. See, Jesus had told the leper to go to the priests. Why? So that he would be a testimony to them. And that's what we are to be. We are to be a testimony to the world of the gospel of Christ, that he is Lord and Savior. That they would see who Jesus is. That they won't just see this man who heals people, a good teacher. No, but that they will see that he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, did you know that Christians are one of the biggest obstacles in the building of Christ's church? When we neglect to study God's Word through the guidance of His Spirit and we obey Him, we are prone to do things our own way, bringing glory to ourselves, robbing it from God. The leper did not obey Christ at that point. See, we must consider our ways and take care to listen to our Lord's admonitions. We must do this for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, to come to a close, I'll just make one more observation to encourage us in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk. You know, yes, we are weak, we fail, we are disobedient, we're prone to wander and sin, unable to let go of self and pride. We do not listen, just like the leper did not listen. But there's something here in our text that is wonderful. You see, Christ Jesus came to take our place. So that in Him we may live. Before the leper came to Jesus, the leper could not enter the city. He had to stay outside in deserted places. But after he met with Christ, the leper was cleansed, and the leper could now enter the city. But you see, Jesus took the leper's place in the wilderness. Look at verse 45 again. It says that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. Jesus, you see, took the place of the leper. Now, this is the work of Christ for the sake of His people. Christ, knowing that the leper would hinder His ministry and knowing that he would be taken outside the city into deserted places, Jesus still touched the leper and cleansed him. Now, this is the wonderful picture of the work of Christ in saving His people. Even though He knew we would still fail, we would still sin, we would still dishonor Him and disobey Him, He still saves us. Why? Because He took our place on the cross. He came to take our place. He came to die in our place. And he willingly was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Jesus was silent and he carried his cross outside the city wall. And there on the cross he suffered and died, obedient to his Father, yet forsaken by his Father. See, on that cross, where was the cross? Outside the city wall. Jesus took our place so that in him, where are we brought into? We're brought into heaven's city, the city of God. And we are not just brought through the gate, we are brought into the very throne room of God. Why? Because Jesus took our place outside the city of God. Jesus came down to earth, became man, and took our place so that we sinners could then go into His city, His heaven, into His throne room. Isn't that wonderful? It's remarkable what Jesus did to this leper, even though this leper continued to disobey him. No doubt, this is the heart of Christ towards sinners who are called by his name. This is the heart of Christ towards you if you have known Christ, that Jesus has taken your place. And in Jesus taking our place, he serves us, he loves us, but also he is our Lord. Now, if you have not yet cried out to Jesus, do it now. Cry out to the Lord who lives and cry out to him. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And let your heart hear the words of Christ when he said, "I am willing, be clean."
cleansed. Amen.